Amen.
Can I encourage you?
Sure.
I believe the Lord wants you to know this. I know that you know it, but he wants somebody else to say it for you. Did I not heal 10, but only one came back to give me glory? Amen?
Amen.
I'm saying that for the number that is here. Don't be discouraged.
Praise the Lord. Well, I was going to have you guys pray for me. I will have you do it at the end of the service. I've been having pain in the right side of my chest, right about here. It's kind of sore. I didn't do anything to it, I don't think, that I know of. But at the end of the service, maybe I'll have some of you, the elders and people come if they want to pray for me. I appreciate it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just give you all praise, all glory, and all honor. I ask you to have your way here today. I ask you to just pour yourself through me in this little word you gave me. There was some confirmation of different things that were said back in Sunday school for this word. And I know that you always honor your word above your name. And I just ask you to have your way. And I'm most careful to give you the praise, the glory, and the honor, because you alone are worthy of it all. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The title to my sermon today is Be Careful Not to Pick and Choose. Sometimes we have a tendency, we do a little picking and choosing as to what we want to believe, what we want to hear, and those kind of things. And before I get into the word, I'm going to read you this little thing here. And it says, learn to mind your own business. And this little story here says, I was walking past a mental hospital one day, and all of the patients were shouting, 13, 13, 13, over and over. And the fence was too high to see over. But I saw a little gap in the planks. So I looked through to see what was going on. Some idiot poked me in the eye with a stick. And then they all started shouting, 14, 14, 14. So, mind your own business. I got a kick out of that one. Praise the Lord. Praise God. You know, in 2 Timothy 5:13 through 17, it says, and when I read you this, I'm not talking about necessarily you as being a little child, but some of you this will go when you were a little child. But when we all come to the Lord, when we first come to the Lord, we're all little children. And, you know, and here's what it says. It says, and from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And you know, I've got that underlined. It has to always be through faith in Christ Jesus. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And you know what? I think a lot of times if we're not careful, we try to pick and choose the scriptures that we want to look at. And you know, I don't think we need to do a lot of picking and choosing. We need to look at the ones God wants us to look at that particular moment. And usually when it's one he wants you to look at that particular moment, it's because he's going to deal with you about something or you have that need. But, you know, as far as us trying to push scriptures aside that we don't like, that don't work too good. I got news for you. And if you can't line it up in the scriptures, what you're saying to people, then maybe you don't need to say it. Because they're all given for doctrine, for reproof, to thoroughly furnish instruction, correction, to thoroughly furnish the man of God unto all good works. Okay? I like that. And I think a lot of times, sometimes in this deeper word that we get a lot of times from people anymore, sometimes they kind of deviate away from Scripture. And you can't never deviate away from the foundational truths. You can't deviate away from the cross. You can't deviate away from what Jesus did. You can't deviate that there's no other name given amongst men whereby you must be saved. There's no other name. I mean, that's the name where all the power resides, you know. And you know, we have to realize that, yes, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us, in our mortal bodies, and it's quickening our mortal bodies. But we also can't get away from those foundational truths. And if you find somebody talking against the foundational truths or getting you away from the foundational truths, then you better be careful, because you take the foundation out of this building and guess what? It will collapse. Okay? The next scripture that God gave me is, this is 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 13. And this is out of the Amplified Bible. It says, "For our knowledge is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect. And our prophecy, our teaching, is fragmentary, incomplete, and imperfect." You know. It says, "But when the complete and the perfect total comes, the incomplete and the imperfect will vanish away and become antiquated, void, and superseded. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child, and I reasoned like a child. Now that I am become a man, I am done with childish ways and have put them aside. For now we are looking in a mirror that gives us only a dim and blurred reflection of the reality, as in a riddle or an enigma. But then, when perfection comes, we shall see in reality and face to face. Now I know in part or imperfectly, but then I shall know and understand fully and clearly, even in the same manner as I have been fully and clearly known and understood by God. So faith, hope, and love abide. Faith," I'll give you their definition here, it says, "conviction and belief respecting man's relationship to God, the divine and divine things." And the definition God gave me for faith is believing in the truth or the truthfulness of God, you know, okay? And the next one is hope. It's joyful confidence, expectation of eternal salvation. And the last one is love. True affection for God and man, growing out of God's love for and in us. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now, you know, we were talking back in Sunday school, and we were talking about a lot of the, some legalistic things a little bit, you know. But, you know, if you love somebody, you'll do those things because you love them, not because it's a law. If you love somebody, you're not going to cheat them. If you love somebody, you're not going to steal from them. If you love somebody, you're not going to murder them. If you love somebody, you're not going to lie to them. And if you do, God will let you know, you know. And you know, that's the neat thing about the love of God. It takes all of the do's and don'ts away, because you ain't going to want to do those things if you love somebody, you know. You're going to want the best for them. You're going to want them to grow and become all they can become, you know. I know as my kids were growing up, you know, it's like Mark, I think Mark's a fine young man and I'm very proud of him, you know. And you know, all I have ever wanted for him is for him to surpass me and in whatever ways he can, you know, or to do it better than I did it, you know. And in a lot of ways he's done that. And I appreciate that. But you know, that's the way God is. He wants us to grow to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we won't be little children tossed to and fro by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to try to deceive us, but will speak the truth in love and will grow up into Him in all things. Wow. That's my heart's cry. That's my heart's desire for the body of Christ. And you know, that's not a real popular message. You can see that by how empty the seats are out here. I mean, if I was telling you all that God wants to give you a new car and He's going to give you money and He's going to give you all this good stuff all the time, and because you're His kids and He loves you and He's going to spoil you rotten, you know, and that's basically what the prosperity preachers are telling you. He's going to spoil you rotten. You know, He wants you to have a Maserati and a mansion on the hillside in this life. Well, that's not what it's all about. But I'm not going to tell you that stuff. I'm going to tell you He wants you to grow up. And sometimes growing up means going through good times and going through bad times. But it's all God times. And when you come to realize it's all God and He's in it all, then you can walk through those situations and you can walk through them with the peace and the assurance that God is all in all. In every situation. You know, I've got written down here, don't be too critical of your brothers and your sisters who see things on a lesser level. It's God who gives the increase. That was said back there. It's God who gives the increase. In the fullness of time, all things will find their completion in Him. Not a few things, not a couple of things, all things. You know, there's a scripture that says all things consist by Him. Now, I got news for you. If all things consist by Him, even those chairs you're sitting on out there, if God withdraws His power from that chair, it'll crumble and fall into the floor and turn into dust. Now, you know, I used to really like science. I was always really good at science in school. I never had to work at it. It just came natural to me. And, you know, I don't agree with everything that science says, but I think if you get to the heart of what science really is, the true heart of what science really is, it's all about the power of God. Because He's the one that created it all. He's the one that sustains it all. You know, I think we have to come to the realization that when we learn that God's in control and the sovereignty of God, then a lot of the struggling that we do about this happening or that happening or something else happening begins to get pushed aside, and you begin to realize, well, you know what, I might not like what I see happening, but I don't have to like it. All I have to do is acknowledge that God's in it. You know, He's in control of it. And sometimes, for it to change, what God, all it takes is for us to acknowledge God in the middle of it. And whether He changes the situation or the circumstance or not, He'll change you if He changes nothing else. You know, I learned that years ago by working with a guy who was hard to work with. And I've told you this story before, so I'm not going to go into a whole bunch of it. But he was very hard to work with. He could push every button in me that was in me. And he pushed them all every day, just about. And you know what? I used to pray, go home and pray, and I'd pray, God, change Bill, change Bill. He never changed Bill. He changed me. And you know, after a while, when Bill pushed the buttons, they didn't work anymore. And that's the neat thing with God. He knows what He's doing. You know, in Romans 8:18, and this is out of the Phillips. I love this scripture. I've quoted it many, many times. And here's what it says. In my opinion, whatever we may have to go through now is less than nothing compared with the magnificent future God has planned for us. The whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. The world of creation cannot as yet see reality. And there's your reality again. We already mentioned that before. Cannot as yet see reality. Not because it chooses to be blind. Now, a lot of times you might say, well, the world's like that because they choose to be like that. No, God has subjected them to, the situations and circumstances they're in out there. We don't know exactly why, and we don't even know exactly how it's all going to work out. We know in finality that God's going to be all and in all, and that every knee's going to bow and every tongue's going to confess. We don't know when and we don't know how, but I tell you what, He does. And we're going to be a part of that. And it says, the world of creation cannot as yet see reality, not because it chooses to be blind, but because God and His purpose, it has been so limited, yet it has been given hope. And the hope is that in the end, the whole of created life. Now, what is the whole of created life? Isn't that everything? Anytime you got the whole of something, that's everything. The whole of created life will be rescued from the tyranny of change and decay and have its share in the magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God. Wow. I wish so many Christians out there would get this translation and read it. I'm telling you what, and actually hear what it's saying. You know, a lot of times people read the scriptures and they don't hear. And my prayer has always been when I read scriptures, give me ears, Lord, to hear what You're saying to me. And we were talking about this back here, and you know, Edda said sometimes she doesn't feel like she's heard that voice of God, but she has, because some of the things she says come right out of the Spirit of God. I mean, He's speaking inside of you. A lot of times it's not a verbal voice where you hear it. The heavens open like on Hollywood and Noah, you know, that kind of thing. It ain't that. He speaks inside of you, in your heart. And when He speaks, you know He spoke. And when He speaks to you, you know that you know that you know that you heard from God. But anyway, creation's going to be changed. They're going to be set free, rescued from the tyranny of change and decay, and have its share in the magnificent liberty which can only belong to the children of God. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:22-29, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." How many's all? That's all. "But every man in his own order." Now, God has a definite order in things. And you know, things don't catch God by surprise. You don't fool Him none. He knew exactly what you was going to do, when you was going to do it, and how you was going to do it. And he loves you in spite of it a lot of times. But I just want you to know that He knows what's going on. "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive, but every man in his own order. Christ the first fruits, afterwards they that are Christ at His coming." And that word for coming, Brother Eddie used to preach on the word coming a lot. I mean, I don't know how many sermons I heard him preach where he brought that up. And it's the word parousia. And it literally means to be present. When I was in school and they'd call out my name, and I always hated it when I was a little kid because I was the only Oscar that in the school most of the time. I always hated it. But, you know, all my family always called me Junior, you know. And but when they would call out my name, I'd always say, "Present." And you know what that meant? I was there right now. And you know what? The word, when you see the word "come" most of the time in scriptures, the biggest majority of the time, it's the word parousia. When it's talking about the coming of the Lord, His presence is here now. You know, it's not something that's going to happen in the future. It's here right now. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He knows everything. He's into everything. So, you know, it's not always pushing it into another day of His coming. He comes to you on a daily basis with the revelation, with the knowledge of the things that He opens up to you out of His Word, with His encouragement, with his keeping power, you know. Okay, it says, but every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Then it says, and then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. Now that word for end there is a word that means, it has the meaning of, it doesn't mean the end of something, you know, like people talk about the end of the world is coming, you know. But that word for end there means this. It means to set out for a definite point or goal. And you know, God has never changed his definite point or his goal from the very beginning of when man was created. Because what did he say in the beginning? Let us make man what? In our own image and in our own likeness, and let him have dominion. That purpose, that goal has never changed. It's still in the process of being unfolded. It's still in the process of us coming to the revelation and the reality of it. And I'm going to tell you what, it's not some way distant thing. It's as he reveals that reality to you on a daily basis. Okay, it says to set out to a definite point or goal, the point aimed at as a limit, and the limit is that he wants you to be just like him. And the application, the conclusion or the act or state of something, you know. And it says here, then shall he have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest, or it's revealed, that he is accepted, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him. And now what's he going to do then? That God may be all and in all. Now God's already all and he's already in all. They just don't know it. And part of what we're to do is to help them come to the realization that he's not a God way out yonder somewhere past the moon or past all these universes. And buddy, when you realize that God created everything, I still like science. I still like science. You know, I go on YouTube sometimes and I'll look at some of those things where they'll show the telescopes, the new telescopes they send up. And I tell you what, if you want to get in awe of God, you watch one of them, and they're finding new universes and new things, and just it just goes on and on and on and on. And the bigger the telescopes they put out there, the more they find more universes and more universes and more stars and more and more. And think of the promise that he gave Abraham. He said, your descendants are going to be like the stars. Or like the sand on the seashore. I mean, think about the sand on the seashore. So what's he saying? You think he's going to kill everybody off? I don't think so, folks. He's not going to kill everybody off. There's going to come a time when they come to that revelation and they come to realize that God is all and in all. Okay, my last scripture here is, well, I actually had a couple more scriptures. And John 16:33, and this is out of the Amplified Bible. I love this portion of Scripture here. I have told you these things, so that in me you might have perfect peace, confidence. In the world you shall have tribulation, and trials, and distresses, and frustrations. Do you have any of those? I do on a daily basis almost. But be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Take courage. Be confident. Be certain. Be undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of the power to harm you and have conquered it for you. He didn't say I conquered it for me. He already had it conquered. I conquered it for you. I love that. And you know, I've got written down here, all scripture must be fulfilled. Its fulfillment, find its fulfillment in Christ. There is at least three levels in the scriptures, the natural, the soulish, and the spiritual. Just as there are three courts in the temple, the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. And you know, man is really a triune being, if you really got down to it too. God, you know, we know that people talk about the Trinity. Well, the Trinity is all just God, but it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, it's three aspects of God. It's all God. It's not three little gods sitting somewhere. And I got news for you. You're a triune being too. You're flesh, your soul, and you have the Spirit of God in you. That's what makes you alive. You've got three different things in you. And those three are one. That's why it says, when it says Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, these three are one. It's all God. It's just God. You know, everybody tries to break it down into all this and all, you know, all these three little different things. It's not 3D. But one of the first principles that he taught them in the Old Testament, the Lord our God is what? One. Okay? And that's why sometimes Jewish people have a problem with Christianity's teaching about the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's not nothing to get upset about. It's all one. It's just God. You know, I've explained this to people in this form. You know, I'm Brother Oscar. You can call me Pastor or whatever. I'm Brother Oscar. Okay? To Margaret, I'm Junior Honey. That's what she calls me all the time. And sometimes I have to say this. I used to get upset with me because when she'd be talking to me, she'd say, "Now, Junior, you know, and keep saying my name. And I told her, I don't know if I like when you do that. I said, I feel like you're talking down to me when she does that. And then I heard this thing when it said, when you say somebody's name, it's because you love them. Made me change my mind about that. She can say that to me all she wants. Because if she's saying it because she loves me, that's fine. But you know what? And to my mother, I was her son. You know, they're all different things. When I used to talk to my mother on the phone, I talked to her in the nature of son, her son. When I talked to Margaret, I talked to her in the nature of her husband, her lover, her friend. When I talked to you all, I talked to you all as being my brothers and sisters in the Lord. You know, all different things, all different personalities when I talk to you, but all one person. And that's the way it is with God. The Trinity is no big secret. Everybody tries to make it out like it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three different heads of God sitting up there, and they got to get an agreement. No, it's all God. It's one God. It's three aspects of his personality, three aspects of his will, and that's exactly what it is. Jesus came to reveal the Father. He was the Father in flesh. And if we had never seen Jesus, we would have never believed that God could be in the form of a man. How could we believe God was inside of us, Christ in you, the hope of glory, until we seen Jesus? He was God in the flesh. That's why when he told his disciples, and they said, "Lord, show us the Father, and it'll be sufficient." He said to them, "Have I been with you so long, and you don't know me? You haven't recognized me? Don't you realize that the things I say and do with you, that's the Father inside of me speaking to you?" You know. And boy, when we get to that point where we get so in tune with the Spirit of Christ inside of us, I got news for you. Then when you speak, it won't be you speaking anymore. It'll be that nature of God inside of you. And it won't be something that you're wanting to have done. It'll be something that he's wanting to have done through you. It's not that you'll lose anything, but you'll gain to the point where you'll only say that which you hear your Father say. Praise God. I have told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you shall have tribulation and trials and distresses, frustrations. Be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world, I have deprived of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. Praise God. And I read you that about Scripture being at least three levels of Scripture, you know. And the last Scriptures that I have here is 1 Corinthians 3:16, and I've quoted this to you many different times. Know you not that you're the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? And in 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? You are not your own, for you've been bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Praise God. Praise God. I'm going to read you one last thing, and then we'll close. This is seven rules for life. I like this. It's pretty good. It says, make peace with your past so it won't disturb your present. You got things in the past, deal with them. Put them before God. If you need to forgive somebody, ask God to help you forgive them. If you need to forget something that's happened in the past, ask God to help you forget, whatever it is. Number two, what other people think about you, I like this, is none of your business. And buddy, if you take that attitude, you know what? You'll walk through this life with a lot more joy and a lot. But if you worry about what other people are thinking about you, then you're gonna do a lot of struggling. Time heals. This is number three. Time heals almost everything. Give it time. That's good. Number four. No one is in charge of your happiness except you. You know, you can make up your mind each and every day how your day is going to go when you first get up. You know that old saying of getting up on the wrong side of the bed? You can get up with the mully grubs in the morning. You know what the mully grubs is. That's when you're grumpy and fussy and everything else. You can get, and you're going to be down low because mully grubs are grubs down in the dirt. You can be down there or not. You make up your mind. No one's in charge of your happiness except you. You know that, Pharrell used to sing that song where he'd beat on his chest and sing, smile, be happy, you know. And all that stuff. I like that song. I don't know if it's necessarily a Christian song, but I tell you what, it was true, you know. And the next one, number five, is don't compare your life to others. You get in trouble when you do that. You can't live up to somebody else's expectations. You know, I've never tried to be Brother Eddie. I can't be Brother Eddie. I don't want to be Brother Eddie. I mean, I thought Brother Eddie was a wonderful preacher when he was the pastor of this church years ago. But you know what? I realized a long time ago the only person I could be is Oscar. I can't be nobody but Oscar. And I want all of you to just be who you are. God made you a distinct individual. He don't make no junk. He made you perfect in the way he wants you to be. Don't compare your life to others. Don't judge them. You have no idea what their journey is all about. And you don't. And you might look at somebody and say, how in the world could they do what they just did? I mean, this boy that just went in that place over there and shot all them people and stuff. How in the world could somebody do that? You know, and I mean, that's a natural thought that you'll have. But who knows what in the world that boy's been exposed to? It's a shame, you know. We need to pray for him that he have an encounter with God somewhere and his life get turned around. It's awful, you know. And I mean, he's got a lot of hatred in his heart and stuff, and it's just a terrible thing. Next one, number six, stop thinking too much. You know, you get in trouble when you think too much. You ever went to bed at night and you lay down to go to sleep and your mind starts racing? And it goes over and 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 over. You keep thinking about all this different stuff. And you know what? Next thing you look over and it's 4 o'clock in the morning and you're still laying there with the big eye. You can't go to sleep. Whenever that happens to me, I just get up. I don't even fight it. I just get up and go sit in a chair somewhere or something and let myself get calmed down. But you know what? Stop thinking so much. It's all right not to know all the answers. You don't know all the answers. You know? You don't have to know all the answers. And the last one, number seven, is smile. You don't own all of the problems in the world. And you know what? When you smile, the whole world smiles with you. And it changes attitudes. I love people. I'm not a smiler. When I smile, you can't even tell I'm smiling. I mean, because maybe it's my beard partially. I don't know what it is. But people will take pictures and they'll say, smile. And I go like that and they think, well, you ain't smiling. Yes, I am. And I'm smiling on the inside, whether I'm smiling on the outside or not. I'm just not a big, you know, that kind of smiler. But you know what? It's pretty hard to be mean to somebody when they're smiling or when they're happy-go-lucky or when they're being nice to you. You know what I mean? And be nice to people and they'll be nice to you, you know. And what's that scripture say? A soft answer turns away wrath. Well, you know, a smile will change things too. A lot of times it'll make somebody ask you, what are you smiling about? Why do you smile so much? Good opportunity for you to tell them, you know, I know Jesus. He'll make you smile. He'll make you happy. You know. But anyway, that's all I had to share with you today. And going back to my first title of this, be careful not to pick and choose what you do. If you're going to choose, choose God. You know, it's been said here numerous times where the Lord said to Israel, he said, I've set before you life and death. And then he had to tell them, choose life. Now, why would he even have to tell you that? Because we're so stupid sometimes. We go to choose death, you know. Yes, Lord, I want life. And you are the way, the truth, and the life. Praise God. Sure. Wait a minute. Let me come down there. I'm going to try to start getting you guys on here so that when you do say something.
I was driving down the road the other day, and I saw this sign. It said, if you met yourself today, would you like you? Think about that.
Yeah, that's a good sign.
Would you like yourself if you met yourself today? And I kind of have a thing, I don't know how I came up with it, but I kind of have this little mantra going on now that says, I say, if I meet you, I hope you like me. If you don't, that's okay too.
Right.
You know?
That's right.
Be yourself.
So you can't control what other people think about you, you know? And if you worry about what they think about you, you're gonna not be happy-go-lucky. You're not gonna, you're gonna struggle yourself because you're worrying about what somebody else is thinking about you. And you know what? I don't worry about too much about what people think about me. You know, that's good. That's real good, Mike. Anybody else? Nobody else? Okay, you can do it. Come on up and pray for me. I'll tell you what's going on with me. I've been having some real sharp pains, like right in here sometimes. And I'm real sore right across through there. I don't know what's going on, you know. But I believe in what the scripture says, that if there's any sick among you and I guess this is, could be considered being sick. I hope it's. Let them call for the elders and let them pray the prayer of faith, and the Lord will raise them up.
Yes.
And I'm going to believe that the Lord will raise me up, okay? So you all just pray for me as you feel led.
Yes. Precious Lord, we thank you, yes. Lord, for the opportunity to share in your body.
Yes,
Father, we don't know what the pain is either, but Father, we don't have to tell you what you already know.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Father, you are our deliverer,
yes,
you are our comfort, and Father, you said let the weak say they are strong.
Amen.
Yes.
And Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy
yes,
Ghost, Lord,
yes,
Lord, we ask, Lord, that the
praise
anointing
God.
Take the place of all the soreness.
Yes, Lord.
For Father, we say, Lord, to that soreness, flee in the name of Jesus. And by his Spirit are we made. You said the word says, by your stripes are we healed.
Yes.
Amen.
And Father, from his head to the sole of his feet, correct whatever needs to be corrected.
Yes.
Amen.
Father, we confess your word. You said
praise
you wish
God.
Above all things that we would prosper and be in health,
yes,
as our soul
Lord.
Prospers.
Yes.
Praise God.
So, Father, a lot of times we pray for Oscar, but do we really pray for his soul?
Yes, Lord.
Father, that it can be one with you.
Praise
yes.
God.
Father, you said who is joint of the Lord is one spirit.
Yes, yes, amen.
Lord. And Lord, we agree in the name of Jesus. This is one spirit
praise
and one
God.
Spirit only. Lord, we come against anything that will kill, steal, and destroy in the
yes.
name of Jesus.
Praise God. Yes.
Because, Father, you asked us to come
yes.
in that name.
Yes, Lord.
And, Father, we come not only in the name, but, Father, we came in the proof that you are that you
yes.
are.
Amen.
And, Father, just have your way within Oscar.
Thank you.
We're going to yield to what you
Thank
want
you.
To do.
Yes,
because,
Lord.
Father, you
yes.
know what needs to be done.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You,
Father. So, Father, just have your way. Have your
yes.
way throughout
yes.
his whole body.
Yes.
Let this soreness leave.
Yes,
Even
Lord.
As my hand has left, let it already
yes.
be gone.
Praise
and
Lord.
Father, calling those things that aren't as though they are.
Yes.
Praise God.
Father, you smile upon us.
Yes.
You smile when we quote
yes.
your word.
Yes.
Because
yes.
when we quote it, we believe it.
Yes, amen.
And Father, you said, seek me with your whole heart. And
yes.
Father,
yes.
you've
yes.
never failed in showing up.
Yes.
Amen.
So Father, this day,
thank
this
you.
Day, let it be an Oscar
yes.
as
God.
It is in your hand.
Praise
in
the Lord.
Your hand is your plan.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
Praise
you,
the Lord. Lord. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God. Well, thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
We appreciate
thank you.
Yes,
you know what you said when we went up there? I don't know what I've done, but I haven't done nothing. I'm sitting back there and I said, tell him to do something.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm backing up,
yeah.
I don't want him to punch
yeah.
me.